Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Love Someone with Borderline Personality Disorder Maintaining Sanity While Caring for Your Partner, Friend, or Family by Laura Gardner, is positioned as a practical self-help guide for people who have close relationships with someone living with borderline personality disorder. Because the book is not widely documented in public critical sources, its analysis is best grounded in the clearly stated focus of its title and category: emotional care, relationship stability, and the protection of the caregiver's own mental health. The subject belongs to the mental health and relationship guidance genre, rather than clinical diagnosis or academic psychiatry. Its purpose appears to be helping partners, relatives, and friends respond to intense emotions, fear of abandonment, conflict cycles, and relational instability without reducing the person with BPD to the disorder. The book stands in a caregiving tradition that tries to balance compassion with boundaries, making it relevant for readers who need practical orientation rather than technical clinical training. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, loving a person with BPD without defining them by the diagnosis. A central theme suggested by the book is the distinction between loving a person and reacting only to the symptoms associated with borderline personality disorder. BPD can involve intense emotional shifts, sensitivity to rejection, impulsive reactions, and fears of abandonment. But a relationship guide must avoid turning those traits into a total identity. But the value of this approach is that it gives caregivers a way to remain humane and realistic at the same time. If a partner, friend, or family member sees every conflict only as manipulation or instability, the relationship can become adversarial. If they ignore the disorder entirely, they may normalize harmful patterns or become exhausted. The book's title places love first, which implies that care is not simply crisis management. It also implies that love requires informed understanding. In practical terms, this means recognizing that emotional intensity may be connected to distress rather than malice, while still acknowledging the real impact on the caregiver. This balanced framing matters because stigma around BPD is common, and many loved ones enter these relationships with confusion, resentment, or guilt. A useful guide in this area helps readers hold two truths together: the person deserves dignity, and the relationship still needs structure. Secondly, maintaining sanity through emotional boundaries and self-protection. The subtitle emphasizes maintaining sanity, which points to one of the most important concerns for loved ones of people with BPD: caregiver depletion. Relationships affected by severe emotional volatility can become organized around the other person's distress, leaving the caregiver in a constant state of vigilance. A practical book in this category must therefore treat boundaries not as punishment, but as a form of relational maintenance. Boundaries clarify what the caregiver can offer, what behavior is not acceptable, and when distance or outside help is necessary. This is especially important because guilt, fear, and loyalty can push caregivers into overfunctioning. They may try to prevent every emotional crisis, answer every message immediately, or absorb blame to calm a situation. Over time, that pattern can weaken judgment and increase resentment. The idea of preserving sanity reframes self-care as a responsibility rather than a selfish withdrawal. It suggests that a stable caregiver is more likely to respond thoughtfully, communicate consistently, and avoid escalating conflict. The strength of this theme is its practical realism. Love alone does not create endurance. People supporting someone with BPD need sleep, privacy, financial limits, emotional space, and permission to seek their own support. Thirdly, communication that validates distress without surrender and judgment. Communication is likely a major practical concern in any guide for partners, friends, and relatives of someone with BPD. The challenge is that emotionally charged conversations can quickly become polarized, especially when one person feels abandoned, criticized, or misunderstood. Effective communication in this context usually requires validation, calm pacing, and avoidance of contemptuous or dismissive language. Validation does not mean agreement with every interpretation or accusation. It means acknowledging that the emotional experience is real to the person having it. That distinction is crucial because caregivers often feel trapped between two unhelpful options: arguing over facts while emotions intensify, or agreeing to things they do not believe in order to end the conflict. A balanced approach would help readers say, in effect, that they can understand the pain without accepting blame for everything attached to it. This theme connects directly to the book's purpose because communication can either reduce emotional threat or increase it. Loved ones need practical language habits that lower defensiveness, maintain clarity, and prevent circular fights. The deeper benefit is not merely smoother conversation, it is the creation of a relational environment where compassion and accountability can exist together, even when emotions are extreme. Fourthly, Adapting Advice to Partners, Friends, and Family Members, the subtitle names three relationship roles: partner, friend, and family. And that distinction matters because the obligations, risks, and limits differ across each role. A romantic partner may face questions about intimacy, cohabitation, shared finances, jealousy, separation, or long-term commitment. A family member may deal with loyalty, history, caregiving expectations, or a sense of responsibility that began long before adulthood. A friend may care deeply but have less authority and fewer formal obligations, making boundaries both simpler and emotionally complicated. By addressing multiple types of relationships, the book is positioned less as a couple's manual and more as a relational survival guide for the broader support network around someone with BPD. This broader audience is significant because BPD affects not only romantic bonds but also sibling relationships, parent-child dynamics, friendships, and household stability. Advice that ignores role differences can be misleading. For example, a spouse and a casual friend cannot reasonably offer the same level of availability. A useful framework helps readers identify their actual role instead of reacting from guilt or pressure. This topic also highlights an important implication: support is not one fixed duty. It must be scaled to the closeness, capacity, safety, and mutual responsibility of each relationship. Lastly, recognizing the limits of personal support and the need for outside help, a responsible guide on loving someone with BPD must clarify that friends, partners, and relatives are not substitutes for professional care. Borderline personality disorder is a recognized mental health condition, and many people benefit from structured treatment, especially therapies designed for emotional regulation and relationship instability. Loved ones can offer steadiness, validation, and healthy boundaries, but they cannot diagnose, treat, or rescue another person through willpower. This distinction protects both sides of the relationship. It prevents the caregiver from assuming total responsibility for the other person's emotions, and it prevents the person with BPD from becoming dependent on one relationship as the sole source of regulation. The book's concern with maintaining sanity makes this limitation especially important. When caregivers believe they must solve every crisis alone, they may become isolated and fearful of making any mistake. Encouraging outside help, personal therapy for caregivers, crisis planning, or support networks makes the relationship less fragile. This theme also introduces a realistic ethical boundary: compassion should not require tolerating abuse, threats, or unsafe behavior without assistance. The practical value is that readers can remain caring while recognizing when the situation exceeds private relationship skills and requires professional or emergency intervention. In conclusion, this book is most appropriate for readers who are emotionally close to someone with borderline personality disorder and need a practical way to understand the relationship without losing their own stability. Partners, parents, adult children, siblings, and close friends may benefit from its likely emphasis on compassion, boundaries, communication, and caregiver self-protection. And its practical benefit lies in translating a difficult relational experience into more manageable categories: what may be connected to BPD symptoms, what the caregiver can control, what requires limits, and when outside support is necessary. Intellectually, it can help readers move beyond simplistic labels, such as difficult or dramatic, and toward a more structured understanding of emotional dysregulation and attachment fear. Compared with more clinical books on BPD, its title suggests a reader-centered approach focused on the loved one's lived experience, compared with general relationship books. It stands out by addressing the specific strain of caring for someone whose emotional reactions may be intense, rapidly shifting, and deeply tied to abandonment fears. Its distinguishing value is therefore not specialized clinical originality, but accessible relational framing. It appears designed for people who want to remain compassionate while also preserving judgment, boundaries, and psychological endurance. If you would like to support Laura Gardner, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.